Our Christian lives are all about sonship, not servantship. Now, I made that word up, but it makes sense. We are God's children, unlike any that have come before us or any that will ever be after us. We are sons of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The word adoption is sonship. It's not adoption. That we might receive the sonship of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, that would be Christ Jesus, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We are sons of God. We are not Israel, and we should not act like Israel. We are sons, and we should act like sons. Perhaps this is the point of contention in any Christian's life. How to serve, how to walk, how to live, how to appear as a Christian. The world has plenty of examples, and they are worldly examples at best. But if you want to know how to appear as a Christian, you must go to the Word. You are a son of God. You are not a servant. You are not Israel. You are not to be cloaked in religion and religious activities, which are all of the flesh, but you are to be clothed in the Spirit. And all of your activities, your lifestyle, your everything must appear along those lines. Spiritually. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. What did the servants do? They served. They served God. The Levites served in the temple. They had all of the sacrifices. They had all of the hours of prayer. They had all of the right and the wrong ways to do things. They had the one day where they couldn't do anything. They had so many laws, all the Mosaic laws, some 900. And then as the age of the law drew to a near, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law added even more. They were so encumbered by bondage that they had no idea who God was anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not of the law. You are not of the Mosaic law. You are not Israel. You are not Old Testament people. You are not servants. You are never to act as if you were. Not only should we act like sons, we should act as if we're heirs of God through Christ. God has reserved eternity for us. Eternity with all of its blessings. We should take note of that and act like we do have those things in store for us. Oh, if you could catch a glimpse, nevermore would you be downtrodden, your head sunk to the ground, your shoulders stooping over in attitudes of despair. That would not happen because you would realize who you are in Christ and what you have coming in eternity. Eternity and all of the eternal verities far outweigh anything in this microscopic spectacle called life. It's nothing more than a flash on the horizon. That's all it is. All of eternity will outweigh anything that you have gone through, that you are going through, and that you will go through. But it's your job to think on those things. Acting like Israel means acting out religious, servant-type activities. Verse 8, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Most people don't know God today. Oh, they say they do, but they don't. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Acting like Israel means doing services and activities religious in nature. God calls these weak and beggarly elements that bring bondage. With the sonship walk lies no bondage. There is none. Are you in bondage today? Do you feel as if you're in bondage? There is to be none as a son of God. You shouldn't have any feelings of bondage, any feelings of struggle and despair within your heart. You should be free as a Christian. And if you're not, you need to change. Jerry, I don't think you realize what I go through. Now, you got to understand where I came from in my life. My mom and dad used to beat me if I didn't go to church. They used to do all kinds of crazy things. I'm not talking about my mom and dad. My mom just about fainted over there. But Jerry, you don't get it. I used to have to wear these clothes to school. I used to have to wear my hair a certain way. My mom and dad didn't let me have jewelry until I was 30 years old. And the list just goes on and on. Folks, you gotta understand that no matter where you came from in life, God can and will deliver you. But that's easy. That means you get born again. The hard part, the part you struggle with, is what you think about that. The religion that you set up after that. The thoughts that you allow to take root in your heart and then determine how you appear, what you look like, how you act. Well, let's do away with the weak and beggarly elements. That's what I say. We don't have time for that. The first century church met in homes just like this. They didn't have altars. They didn't have candles. They didn't have incense. They did away with Israel and all the acts of servitude. And they brought in freedom. That's a big leap for some. Some just can't accept it if they were to sit and think and go, why do I think like this? Why do I act like this? They wouldn't know. It's just the way they are. I'm telling you, you better know why you do what you do. And you better use the word to figure it out. Acting like Israel means walking according to the flesh instead of walking according to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by a free woman, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. God promised that to him. Well, these two oppositions, the bondage and the freedom, let's say, have been around since Abraham had his two sons. they will be around a lot longer. And they're what you have to deal with in your heart of hearts on a daily basis. You are not a son of God according to the flesh. And you should not try to walk as a son of God according to the flesh. That's what that means. How many of you try to walk as a son of God according to the flesh today? How you look, how you sound, how you smell, how you don't do things, how you do things, how you accept certain things, how you reject certain things, how you talk to somebody, how you don't talk to somebody, and on and on and on. A son of God does not walk according to the flesh. Really something. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, he's the son of promise from Abraham, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You, just like Isaac, are children of promise. Promise. There was no flesh involved with your creation of Christ in you. No flesh. No flesh circumvented, entered into, interjected, and any other entry into you becoming a Christian. The flesh had nothing to do with it, and it still has nothing to do with it. You can bow all you want. You can crawl all the way to the top of Mecca on your knees. It's not going to do anything for God. You can crawl around your bedroom if you want. You can crawl around your closet if you want. It's not going to do anything for God. Oh, it might do something for you. Maybe you'll get some warm fuzzies out of it. I don't know. Well, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I'm trying to make a point. You must understand that Christianity has nothing to do with the flesh. Nothing. And no matter how much you scream and screech and squeak about it, it never will have anything to do with the flesh. It's spiritual in nature, always has been, always will be. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. No flesh. But as then he that was born after the flesh, this was the child of the bondwoman from Abraham, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, the promise, even so it is now. This is going on now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, you guys understand that. There's nothing complicated here. Either you're going to be children of slavery, or you're going to be children of freedom. You choose. God already did his thing. What about you? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Most people never get off their knees. Get up! Stand up! And stand fast! That's what the word says. That's what it means. Get off your groveling knees. Stand up like a son of God. Don't let people push you around. You take a stand spiritually and proclaim the mighty word of God. Don't you proclaim your thoughts, your words. You proclaim the word. That's what makes a difference. Then you've got something to stand on. Then you've got something to stand about. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. My Bible says, cast out the bondwoman and the son. Well, maybe that's what you ought to do. Jerry, you just don't know how hard this is. You don't understand. I'm entangled with this every day. My background has brought me to a point where I am confused, I am downtrodden, I'm just beat up all day long. Heck, I used to stand on the word pretty well. And then all of a sudden something happened in my life and I'm down. You just don't know how hard that is, Jerry. I know what you're saying. But I know when I leave this room, I'm going to have to deal with it again and again and again. I'm telling you that you need to cast out the bondwoman. You need to cast out that son. And you need to accept the promise. That's what it says. That's what it means. You want to hold on to your misery? That's your business. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In freedom! No bondage. There is no bondage in our lives. Well, don't bring any in. Hey folks, the flesh persecutes. The spirit brings freedom. When and where you are persecuted in your own personal Christian walk, the flesh is at work trying to bring you into bondage. That's what it's doing. It's a dichotomy. It's been around for thousands of years. It exists to this day. Even now, we read, when and where you are free in your personal Christian walk, the Spirit is at work bringing you freedom. Oh, you might say, I don't remember all this stuff all the time. How can I possibly do all this? Isn't this works in the walk of the flesh too? Trying to remember this stuff and trying to do whatever I got to do in my mind so that, oh, my life is more bearable? No, it's not a walk of the flesh. It's a thought process for sure, but it's a decision. You decide if you're going to allow the Spirit of God to work in you. That's all it is. You get up in the morning and you say yes to that spiritual fervor and dynamics. You walk out of your house and you allow that Spirit of Christ to energize in your thoughts and in your very walk. You drive to work. You get to your job. That Spirit of Christ is still there. All you've said is yes. That's the way I'm going. You say no to the bondwoman and the bondage of the flesh. That spiritual walk brings you freedom. You have to leave the fleshly walk of religion and servitude. And then embrace. You embrace the spiritual walk of freedom and sonship. That's what you do. You want to throw your arms around something? Throw it around the spiritual verities of the Word. Throw it around eternity. But don't throw it around the flesh, the religions of the world, the despair that they bring in. Don't throw it that way. You watch where you put your hands, your fingers, your arms. Embrace the good and godly. The true essence of Christianity is sonship. That's the true essence of Christianity. That's what Paul taught 2,000 years ago, and that's what I'm teaching today. Without sonship, you have only religion. People trying to act like Israel. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen people say, well, I'm free in Christ. I can do whatever I want. And they're the next guy bowing down at the altar. They're the next guy lighting the candles and waving the incense. They're the next guy wearing the phylacteries and the robes. Folks, I'm telling you, that's not how it's supposed to be. wipe the images of today's religion from your mind. Just wipe them away. And paint a new picture. Paint a picture of freedom, of liberty, of sonship, of that bondwoman being cast out, of you embracing the freedom in Christ. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. But by love serve one another. Now we're getting to the meat of the matter. Because you say, Jerry, if I'm not supposed to get all religious, if I'm not supposed to do all my vows and sing the 30 minutes of praise to Jesus every Sunday, and all the other things that my church tells me what to do, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Well, some people say I'm going to do some of those anyway. And I say, that's your choice, but you better watch the bondage. And the Bible says, but by love serve one another. That's what it says. That's too easy, Jerry. That's just too easy. There's got to be more to it than that. Man, I ought to be required to do certain things, don't you think? Don't you think somebody ought to be knocking on my door and telling me if I'm not doing those required things to help me out a little bit? No. The Bible says, but by love serve one another. If you want to do certain things, that's your business. I'm not going to chase you one way or the other, in fact. But by love serve one another. Those are the words of the Almighty God. But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The true essence of the Christian, Son of God walk, is in service. But not religious service and acting like Israel. It is in loving service to one another. Oh, God tried to get Israel to do this under the law, no doubt. But they failed. The closest they ever got to this was ensuring that everyone was under bondage. They begged for a law. They begged for a king. They begged for the rules. Let us not mimic Israel's actions by doing the same to ourselves. Let us provide loving service to one another, loving our neighbors, fellow Christians, as we love ourselves. This is walking in the Spirit. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which are epitomized by religious actions. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Oh my. Many of you are of a mindset that you won't attend, be part of, or otherwise participate in religious Christian activities. Well done. But what you need to realize are the religious activities taking place within your own heart and mind. That's what I'm talking about. I don't care if you go into a church or not, that's your business. But you better be prepared for it, because they don't teach the word all the time. They teach things that aren't in the Bible with such religious loftiness and haughtiness that you're practically forced to believe them. The Christian activities taking place within your own heart and mind should be centered on spiritual freedom and sonship. You all know of the flesh-spirit battle. My goodness, you feel it every day. There are fleshly signposts on practically all corners of our streets, directing your way into fleshly bondage. You see them, you hear them, and you witness others acting them out. Upon every remembrance, you must deal with the contention between the flesh and the spirit. You must ever decide which way you will go. Both have strength. Both will pull on your heartstrings. Both are firmly established ways within the spiritual realm. But both are not for you. By your belief and choice, you find yourself on the high and mighty road of spiritual freedom. By your belief and choice, you can also find yourself on Israel's road of fleshly bondage. The latter is generally as far as today's Christian leaders can take people. That's all they know. Treat yourself to a remarkable journey on that high road of faith. What is your fair show in the flesh? Isn't that what it comes down to? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, and not only, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. These were people within the Christian ranks. They were called the circumcision boys. Is your fair show in the flesh, fleshly bondage, or spiritual freedom? What is your fair show in the flesh? What is it? What will it be tomorrow? What will it be for the rest of your earthly life? It will be spiritual freedom in eternity. You know that, don't you? Do you think that God's going to put you in eternity and then force you to be religious like the people of today? Is that what you think God is all about? That you're going to be forced to go to an altar? That you're going to be swinging the incense yourself? The acolyte lighting the candles? Is that your vision of God's sacred eternity? I hope not. I hope not. You must be eternity-minded, because we will have spiritual freedom in eternity. And if we will, why not make it happen now? Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The word creature is creation. The new creation of Christ in you is what avails something to God. Circumcision, uncircumcision, or any other fair show in the flesh doesn't appeal to God one iota. Nothing. They don't matter to God. The only thing that matters to God is the new creation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sons of God are a creation by God, a new creation within each Christian. What God did is all that needs to happen. Jerry, there's got to be more. I've got to do more. You don't get this, man. I mean, I just can't sit here because I've got Christ in me and do nothing more to be accepted by God. I say you're wrong. You could sit here for the rest of your life as a born-again Christian and be just fine. If that's what you want to how you want to live your life, to God, He's done it when He did it in you. It's been done. You are well done, folks. Nothing more needs to happen to make you His son. Nothing. No religious works need to happen to bring this about. No religious words need to happen to ensure that it stays. And no religious thoughts need to be maintained to ensure you of God's acceptance. He did what was necessary so that there would be no chance of you or your friends messing it up. The only thing that exercises any force whatsoever in terms of meaning anything to God today is the new creation. You need to believe this too. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, we say that there aren't any laws today. Well, there are. Here's one of them. As many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. God established the boundaries of the Christian walk. That's what the word rule means. This is the line that He drew. This boundary. This line. This rule. It's a boundary. Separates flesh and spirit in terms of activities deemed appropriate to and for Him. He drew the line in the sand. He wrote the boundary in history through Christ. Yes, there were two Abrahamic sons, one of the flesh and one by promise. Yes, there were two. The flesh persecutes the spirit, but the spirit is always free. No matter the persecution, no matter the intensity, the spirit is always and will always be free. What side of the boundary are you on? The world has painted many walls of separation. I can think of one in Israel, one in China, one in Great Britain, one in America, one in Africa, many in individual families, workplaces, and churches, and there are many more unspoken walls, to be sure. The dichotomy of these covenants are ever present in nearly every form of life, and those who encounter them must decide where to abide. What about you? Where do you abide? On the bondage side or on the freedom side? Do you bask in God's mercy, which He freely gave to you? Or do you choose persecution within your mind and heart, forsaking His love and freedom? Are you the old Israel of God? Or are you the new Israel of God? The old Israel of God is no more. It didn't work, it won't work, and it won't be anymore. The new Israel of God is written on your heart with the very handwriting of God. No, you aren't Israel. I'm not suggesting that. You are Christians, God's people, God's family. You were searched out by God to be part of His family. He created Holy Spirit within you and completed that task, recognizing sonship instead of servantship epitomizes this rule and wonder, not only to God but also to all of God's people. You are sons of God with all power and might. Act like it now and forever. Thank you.